six. Number 3A. Board may review, discuss, and take action to select interviewees and/or may appoint investigative committee members. And we have Mr. Moore here. Is that correct? Please come forward.
Good morning.
Good morning, how are you?
Good, how are you?
Could you state your name for the record?
Greg Mara.
Thank you. And Ms. Krieger, you're the lead on this.
Sure, so I'm gonna, I don't have anything too tough for you, but we appreciate you being here, appreciate your interest. You have to tell us what interests you about sitting on the investigative committee. All of us crazy people, well, this is the best, but.
I'm animal lover to the nth degree, and especially when it comes to fairness to all parties, so that's kind of why I like being involved. I've been on the HOA board where I live for the last 7 years as president and treasurer and all that. So I enjoy that department. It seems like I'm always at a vet's office when I'm around, so.
Excuse me, sir, could you speak into the mic?
Oh, I'm sorry.
Only because we've got three people on the phone today, so then they can hear better.
I got it. So anyway, that's my interest is in animals and doing the right things for the vets and the animals, making sure everybody's treated fairly. When the opportunity came up, I thought I'd be interested in it.
And it looks like you're still working, correct? Or are you retired?
I'm working and retiring.
Okay, good for you.
I've actually retired like 6 years ago.
Still working on that?
I'm only probably doing 60 hours a week now.
Oh. Well, I always like to ask then, do you foresee regular attendance at the meetings being problematic or?
Not at all.
Okay, because it's usually, you know, we'll take up, you know, one morning or afternoon, whichever committee you're on each month. And because there's such a small number of people on the investigative committees, it's always really important for everybody to show up so that they have a forum. So that's always kind of like my, you know, my main point. Beyond that, does anybody else have any questions or comments?
Yes, Mr. Chairman, I'd like to ask Mr. Mara about your experience as the cardiocath lab director and what kind of medical background you may have or?
Well, my dad was a doc and the medical director for a big hospital in Alabama. Can you hear me? And I ran cardiac cath lab, did some perfusion work, worked in open heart for 3 years, worked at Parkland Hospital in Dallas where they took Kennedy back in the day. Worked in heart research, and then from heart research, I was hired in Huntington Beach, California to run their cath lab. And so I became director of cardiopulmonary, worked in, my favorite place was emergency rooms. But it was great until I reached my peak at that profession without having an MD, so.
Thank you. Very interested. Thank you.
Quite welcome.
Well, good. And then Victoria, is our opening for the morning or the afternoon?
Afternoon.
Afternoon. Okay. Well, Mr. Mara, again, we appreciate you being here. I think you seem like you would be a perfect fit, and so unless anybody else has any other questions or comments, I would make a motion that we appoint Mr. Mara to the afternoon investigative committee.
Second.
Motion on the floor is second to appoint to the afternoon investigative committee. Any further discussion? Any board members on the phone have questions? All those, can we do a roll call or can we do a voice vote? All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? That motion passes.
Great.
Welcome. I hope you know what you're stepping into.
I know, right? It's not too late. But thank you, we appreciate having volunteers, and I think you'll find it'll be really interesting and very educational. I was going to say entertaining, but I don't think that's...
Purposeful, I think is the best way to describe it.
I'm sure I'll be engaged in life.
Well, thank you.
Thank you very much.
Oh, Mr. Toll's tapping his foot back there, can't wait to get out of here.
Shall we try one more time to call that person for that AR?
Sure.
Which one was it?
2192.
This is Jared, we were messaging, I'll call you back soon.
All right, I vote we proceed in absentia.
Yes.
So we are on case number 2192, referring to Captain Reaver DVM, and Tracy, would you read us a summary?
Yes. Case 2192, the complaint is Gary L. Woodencheck, the respondent is Captain Mueller DVM. On January 20th, 2021, Cody, a 10-year-old male Labrador retriever, was presented to respondent's associate for vomiting. The dog was evaluated. Complaint declined diagnostics and approved subacute cervical cancerania. On January 21st, 2020, the dog was presented to respondent due to no improvement. Complainant wanted the dog evaluated before diagnostics were performed. Due to critical cases being brought in and the dog's condition being stable at that time, there was a prolonged wait time. Complainant became verbally abusive, therefore respondent would like to refuse service and recommend the dog be seen elsewhere. On January 22nd, 2021, the dog was evaluated at Arizona Metropolitan Emergency and Critical Care Center for Diagnostics. Due to non-specific diagnosis, the dog was administered subacute fluids and discharged with sedation. On January 25th, 2021, the dog was humanely euthanized due to a suspected anal apocrine gland adenocarcinoma. And the committee concluded that no violation of the Veterinary Practices Act had occurred, and it was moved and seconded the board dismissed this issue with no violation. The motion was approved with a vote of 3-0.
All right, we have no respondent. Mr. Stoll, monitoring or statement?
Monitoring.
And no complainant. And Ms. Frost, you're the lead.
Yes, can you all hear me okay?
Yes.
Yes.
Okay. So we're doing this case, I think, unfortunately, this is a very common complaint right now, especially in emergency medicine. Extended wait times, and where waiting can be really frustrating and uncomfortable. Having your pet move to the front of line is not usually what you would hope for, and I think we can equate it to human medicine. You're seen in an emergency setting based on triage status, which appears to be an issue here. It sounds like, recommendations were made, here was up to the complainant on how they wanted to proceed, and the pet was taken care of at another facility, unfortunately with a diagnosis or maybe a differential diagnosis that was less than ideal. But I don't see any violations, so I would introduce the investigative committee and the person to dismiss this case with no violations.
And
second.
And second. Motion on the floor is to dismiss case 2192. Is there any further discussion? I guess I'll add in the hindsight's 2020. He was in there, the dog was in there, work was being done, he declined it and decided to come back the next day. And the next day he had to wait 9 hours. and got upset. So, could have all been done the first day, but he was queued up in the front, line.
It's declined.
Yeah, so. My two cents. Any other discussion? Motion on the floor is to dismiss. All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? That motion passes. 2192 is dismissed. And then I guess we'll go straight down the... Go back to the top, straight down the list. Case number 2180. Tracy, would you read us the summary, please?
Yes, 2180. The complainant is John N. Papp. The respondent is Kathy Ryan Jr., DVM. Taz, a 13-year-old male chihuahua, was presented to respondent and his associate veterinarian since 2016. During that time, the dog was evaluated for multiple health issues, which could be challenging at times due to the dog's temperament. In 2017, respondent's associate identified a grade 1 out of 6 heart murmur. The murmur was monitored through the years with periodic recommendations for further workup, such as an echocardiogram. On July 3rd, 2020, the dog was evaluated by respondent's associate, Dr. Forbes, and the heart murmur was noted as a grade 3 out of 6. On September 17th, 2020, the dog was presented to Dr. Forbes for difficulty in the hind legs. A grade 5 out of 6 murmur was detected. Radiographs were to be performed at a later time. On September 27, 2020, the dog was presented to Dr. Warlick due to decreased appetite and abdominal distension. Thoracic radiographs revealed an enlarged heart and abdominal lesion. The dog was discharged with heart medications. On October 2, 2020, the dog was presented to respondent due to the dog's declining condition. Respondent suspected an acute onset of congestive heart failure as the dog could not be stabilized. Due to the dog's grave prognosis, he was humanely euthanized. Complainant expressed concerns that the respondent did not refer him to a cardiologist and have him start the dog on heart medications when the murmur was detected. And the committee concluded that no violation of the Veterinary Practice Act had occurred, and it was moved and seconded. The board dismissed this issue with no violation. The motion was approved with a vote of 4-0.
Okay, we have no respondent, no complaint, nobody monitoring. And Dr. Wright, you're the lead.
Yes, thank you. So again, after going through reading this, I mean, it looks like the heart murmur was documented and monitored. Recommendations were made throughout the course, but early on in heart disease, there's really nothing that you can do to intervene. There's really nothing you need to do. The only time we start to really intervene is when we start seeing congestive heart failure, which was like that at the time that medications were started, and that's when we intervened there. It's an unfortunate situation, but I don't see any kind of violation on part of the veterinarian, so because of that, I'll make a motion to dismiss this with no violation.
Second.
A motion on the floor and a second to dismiss case 2180. Any further discussion? All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Aye. Aye.
That motion passes. Case is dismissed. Next up is 2181. Tracy, would you read us the summary, please?
Yes. Case 2181, the complainant is Roberto P. Salinas and the respondent is Dorothy Nelson, DVM. On January 13th, 2021, Sasha, a 7-week-old female gold doodle, was presented to respondent due to lethargy and unable to hold the head up. Complaint declined. There were any medications at home that the puppy could have ingested, and the littermates were not exhibiting any similar symptoms. Respondent examined the dog and asked permission to run a urine screening drug test based on the dog's symptoms. Complainant eventually agreed. The urine screen came back negative and the dog began to improve a few hours later. Complainant later demanded the dog be returned to him and accused respondent of racially profiling him. And the committee concluded that no violation of the Veterinary Practice Act had occurred, and it was moved and seconded that the board dismissed this issue with no violation. The motion was approved with a vote of 4-0.
You have no respondent, Mr. Stoll, monitoring?
Yes, sir.
No complainant? And Ms. Frost, you're the lead.
Yes, thank you. Can you all hear me?
You're a little muffled, Nikki, yes. Just so you know.
Thank you.
I can hear you, but not really well.
Likewise.
No, that didn't help.
on. Better?
Yes.
Much better.
Regarding this case, it was very interesting just because having seen many cases myself like this, emergency veterinarians often recommend a urine drug screen. But I did find it interesting that because the complaint was saying because the other puppies weren't exhibiting signs, but it couldn't have been a medication. However, he also brought up that there could have been a plant toxicity, which I would say marijuana may fall into that. But at the same time, if it was a plant or again, as they were concerned, carbon wires or something else, it was peculiar that the other puppies were reportedly fine. So I think in any situation, and then also the complaint that the puppy was put at further risk medically because it wasn't vaccinated, again, being peculiar since as veterinary professionals, I think that they were very well informed that this dog was not vaccinated. So I'm not really sure that I completely understand the complaint other than they're frustrated and stressed out, and the veterinarian never met this individual, so I'm not sure about the complaint that this client was racially profiled. But in any case, looking at all of the materials, I would agree with the investigative committee and make a motion to dismiss this case with no violation.
Well, I will second that. I guess because I'm not a vet here, and so I'm like lethargic, seems like it could be a whole lot of things. And so but I can't help but feel like if I went to a vet and with just a simple lethargic pet, and they, you know, first were like, well, we think we need to drug screen your dog, I mean, I'd probably be a little bit miffed too. So I'm like, unless I'm just missing something, that just a lethargic dog that's dribbling urine and is hypersalivating, if that is just like 100% drug related, but I'm not condoning his behavior, but I was like, well, I think I'd be a little bit peeved too if they were suggesting my dog ate meth in my house.
Tremors, dribbling urine, and the hypersalivating with the lethargy are the common symptoms that we see, at least in ER, and the other doctors get jumped in there, but it is very, very common what we see for like a marijuana toxicity, like THC, or the drugs too.
Gotcha. Again, I just understand.
But also veterinarians aren't in it to report people, you know, and basically care for the patient, so.
Right, and when you're in the parking lot, it might feel like, you know, you're not there with the vet where they're saying, okay, you know, but I can just understand how that could be misconstrued where you, you know, be kind of offended by. Anyways, that's all I'm saying.
Okay. We do have a second. Any further discussion? All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? Motion passes. 2181 is dismissed. Next up, we are down to 2183. Tracy Rodriguez's son.
Yes, case 2183, the complainant is Justice McClinton and the respondent is Bernard Van Gaal, UVM. On January 6, 2021, Haya, a 12-week-old female Shetland sheepdog, was presented to respondents associate for examining vaccines. On January 18, 2021, the complainant called to get a heartworm preventative without ivermectin. She was advised that a prescription could be provided. Since the prescription was never provided, the complainant contacted an online pharmacy to get the medication. According to the complainant, respondent premises did not approve the prescription request. On January 22nd, 2021, according to Ms. Freeman, respondent's hospital manager, she spoke with the complainant, resolved the matter, and had the prescription request approved for the complainant. The respondent is the responsible vet for the premises. And the committee concluded that no violation of the Veterinary Practice Act had occurred. It was moved and seconded. The board dismissed this issue with no violation. The motion was approved with a vote of 4-0.
You have no respondent, nobody monitoring, no complainant. And Ms. Krieger,
yes. So in this case, it just seems like complete mix-up. They were just going back and forth on this heartworm medication, and I don't believe that the veterinarian was trying to avoid writing the script. It just seemed like there was some kind of major communication mix-up. Ultimately, this obviously to me did rise to the level of a violation, maybe a poor Google review, but certainly not a violation of the Practice Act. So I make a motion to dismiss this case with no violation.
Second.
A motion on the floor and a second to dismiss 2183. Any discussion? I guess I'd point out that the complaint was filed against the vet that had nothing to do with this dog.
Right.
So.
Yeah.
Moot point whether you like the speed of the prescription service or not. Okay, any other discussion? All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? The motion passes. Next up is 2184. Tracy, would you read the summary, please?
Yes, case 2184, the complainant is Nicolas Incorrier. The respondent is Laura Landman, DPM. On January 21st, 2021, Iggy Pup, a four-year-old male dachshund mix, was presented to respondent with crying out in pain and decreased appetite. The dog was examined. Respondent palpated a tense abdomen and performed applied kinesiology to determine the correct diet the dog should be fed. The dog was administered subcutaneous and pain medication and was discharged with sulfate. On January 24th, 2021, due to the dog's continued pain, the dog was taken to an emergency facility. It was determined that the dog was having back pain due to previously diagnosed intervertebral disc disease. The dog was treated with pain medication and was discharged. On February 3rd, 2021, the dog was evaluated by a neurologist who determined the dog's pain was likely caused by a herniated disc causing compression on the spinal cord. And the committee concluded that possible violations of the Veterinary Practice Act had occurred. It was moved and seconded that the board find ARS 3220-4212 as it relates to R311-5111 for failure to use current professional scientific knowledge with respect to failure to provide additional diagnostics to differentiate if the dog's pain was related to the suspected gastrointestinal issues or the history of the IVDD. The motion was approved with a vote of 4-0.
Okay, we have no respondent. Mr. Stoll making a statement?
Yes, sir.
While he's coming up, let the record show Ms. Solomon stepped out for a minute. So we won't have her vote on this 2184 case.
Thank you. Dr. Landman could not be here today and asked that I read the statement on her behalf. As you review the recommendation of the investigative committee, you just want to point out a few important things. First of all, the dog presented to Pets Vet Animal Hospital at closing, and Pet Vet is not an emergency or 24-hour facility. Dr. Landman agreed to see the dog after hours because he appeared to be in pain of an unknown origin. Also, the person who wanted the dog to be seen was not the owner. It was a third party who was not certain about the dog's medical history, other than the fact that he had recently been radiographed at his regular veterinarian and had been on prednisone and gabapentin for his disc disease for a long time. Given the history of disc disease, Dr. Landman performed an appropriate comprehensive exam from the cervical one to the tail, and Iggy elicited no pain response whatsoever in the spine. Dr. Landman then palpated the stomach and noted in the medical record that the dog had a tense, painful abdomen. She also checked the dog's vitals and had Iggy walk on the floor. He walked around normally, showing no paralysis or other signs that the source of the pain was related to the pre-existing disc disease. To the contrary, it was obvious to Dr. Landman that the dog's pain was emanating from the abdomen and appeared to be related to a gastrointestinal issue. Based upon the exam and findings, Dr. Landman dispensed two pain medications, Torbogesic and Serenia. As you may know, Serenia is commonly used for vomiting and GI pain, but it also has been recommended for use in intervertebral disc disease cases where gabapentin has not been effective. In giving Serenia, Dr. Landman felt that she could potentially treat both conditions, and she was actually proven right in this regard when the owner reported the next day that the dog had improved. In light of the foregoing, we respectfully disagree with the investigative committee's suggestion that Dr. Lamman potentially violated R311-5011 by not performing additional diagnostics to differentiate whether the dog's pain was related to a gastrointestinal issue or the history of disc disease. Additional diagnostics were not necessary because Dr. Lamman had already determined during the course of her physical exam that the pain was causally related to a suspected GI issue. Thank you.
Thank you. We have no complainants. And Dr. James, you are the lead.
So my concern in this case, I mean, obviously we have a history of intervertebral disease and symptoms that are presenting pretty consistent with issues with this disease. So I guess my concern is that she did the exam, as you hear in the statement, and really was focusing on this and didn't see evidence of that being the problem on that day's visit. And so with that, with the exam showing no spinal pain, walking normally, things like that, she moved to more of a GI concern. But, you know, in the statement, there's obvious abdominal cause, and I'm not sure how that was so obvious, because I still don't know that that's really what it was. But then, you know, the comment on it, I guess where my concerns were coming from on this case is whether additional diagnostics should have been performed based on not knowing whether this was disc disease or GI, and additional diagnostics not being necessary is interesting to me because I'm still not sure even in hindsight how we knew that. So anyway, I mean, I guess I just have enough questions here that I'm not sure I could make a determination and would make a motion that we move this to an informal, but if other committee members have other thoughts, I'd be open to discussion on that as well.
Second.
The motion on the floor is second to move 2184 to an informal. Any further discussion? I had written my notes to dismiss for whatever concern.
Yeah, I agree. I'm not so sure I agree with the investigative committee on failure to use current professional and scientific knowledge, because I feel like she did do the exam and just didn't believe that this was a disc issue, but did the exam. I guess the question is did we assume at that point it was GI-based, or did we really have enough documentation to say that it was GI-based? I don't necessarily know that the treatment was wrong. She has every right to try it out, and when the dog's not getting better, you know, rechecking. But I guess my real concern is just the assumption of the fact that this was abdominal in nature.
Right, and fixed by a new dog food I don't know. Did I miss something, or were the accounts of what happened at the appointment kind of different too? Because the complainant suggested there was.
But I think they looked at reviews before they came up with that narrative, which okay. At the time they probably didn't know what was going on. But now, I just throw this out there. You could have a backache, or you could have a spinal issue where your back hurts all the time, and you can still get a tummy ache if you eat the wrong thing. Right? I mean, so you could have one chronic condition, but still have something, some other acute, quick, fast, and it's over and done with it.
I agree. Would any of the other veterinarians comment on whether they feel with the information that was presented and what we have, the information that we had, that they would have been able to say that this was an obvious abdominal cause and that additional diagnostics were not necessary? So I think that's the crux of my issue. If you guys feel like you had enough information to say that, it might change the outcome here. I'm just not sure I do.
It doesn't matter if I have it.
Or Jessica.
Well, typically, like. Typically.
You're not here, you can't see me smiling.
I can hear it.
All right, so motion on the floor is moved to informal. Any other discussion?
Can I just get a point of clarification? Did Ms. Solomon recuse herself?
No, I just had to step away for a second.
Okay, because.
So you missed part of it.
Yeah.
So you should.
I should excuse myself. Thank you.
She also seconded the motion.
Right.
So, absolutely right. It's like having Robert's Rules of Order right here on video.
I will second the motion instead.
Thank you. Now we have properly, Ms. Solomon stepped out. She is back now, but we're finishing this case without, with her recused. Motion on the floor, seconded by Ms. Krieger. And the motion is to move to an informal. And our AG missed all that, but Dr. Paul got it.
That's why he's here.
All in favor?
Aye.
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 Anybody else on the phone? Aye. Opposed? Do we have enough people?
I was late on you.
So your aye or nay?
Aye.
And who else do we hear on the phone? Did you hear?
This is Nikki. I was in line.
Okay.
I'm sorry, but I was in line.
Yeah. All right, so that motion passes, and we'll move 2184 to an informal. We don't have our person for our next. Do we just do it anyway?
She's going to be available by phone, won't she?
Oh, so we should do it now at our point in time? Is it the point in time?
It is.
Yeah.
11:30.
Yeah. All right, so let's make Mr. Stoll wait a little bit longer. Do our next informal.